Congress has used those overseas contingency operations accounts every year since 2001 to pay for military operations in both Afghanistan and Iraq, and the Defense Department has grown highly dependent on those funds, including for many budget items that are only tangentially related to the wars. Those OCO funds have come in especially handy since the onset of sequestration, because unlike DOD's base budget, those accounts are not subject to the automatic budget caps, and military leaders say the money is paying for things that will be ongoing requirements long after the last troops leave Afghanistan. Lieutenant General Burton Field is the Air Force's Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, Plans, and Requirements.
We have a problem. We're already cutting 20,000 airmen. We're already seeing the effects of a severe cut like sequester had on us last year. And as I just described, we have enduring requirements over around the globe that are increasing. So at the end of the day, we're going to have to either cut back on those requirements around the globe, which means that our ability to assure our allies and partners and deter potential adversaries is going to be at risk, or we're going to have to take that exactly as described from before, either out of some procurement program, which means our future viability is at risk, or our readiness, which means our airmen are going to be trained and less ready when they arrive in battle. Or both, most likely. So the fact of the matter remains is that without this increased funding, we will not be able to do anywhere what you are asking us to do today.
Military officials told Congress Thursday that they believe they'll need to hold on to those OCO accounts for at least another 2 to 3 years. If they couldn't, they say they'd be forced to wedge tens of billions of dollars of non-Afghanistan requirements into a base budget that's already capped under sequestration and is entirely spoken for already. For example, all Horn of Africa operations from the Navy's base in Djibouti, some 2,300 miles from Kabul, are funded entirely by that OCO money. So is a joint task force headquarters in Jordan and at least 5 Air Force bases in the Middle East. The Marine Corps is using OCO funds to pay the salaries of 38,000 troops, and the Army's been using the money to help train local forces and conduct operations in Africa. Lieutenant General James Huggins is the Army's Chief of Staff for Operations.
If there's not an OCO appropriation, the funding, as I said previously, will have to be absorbed into the base. And this is especially problematic during the times of a declining budget. And the last concern we have is the temporary end strength, which was agreed to by Congress and funded through OCO, allowed the Army to support the demands precipitated by 2 surges in Iraq and 1 surge in Afghanistan. It enabled us to maintain some level of dwell for our soldiers between many multiple back-to-back deployments. It's always been clear we would reduce that end strength, but it's going to take a little bit of time. As the chief just testified, we have accelerated our reductions, so we'll move towards that 490 in the active force by 15. The readiness in the Army for ongoing operations around the world and contingencies is critically dependent upon receiving overseas contingency operations funding appropriations. The absence of that OCO would severely undermine the Army readiness initiatives we've taken this year, thanks to the 14 appropriations, to start to rebuild that. It would, in my opinion, move us towards hollowness. And it would increase the risk both to our soldiers and to our mission.
Huggins says without the supplemental funding source DOD's relied on for more than a decade, the Army would only be able to afford to train soldiers who are deploying or about to deploy. Each of the military services say they also need Congress to keep the funding stream alive in order to repair and upgrade the military equipment that's now coming back from Afghanistan, a process that will take several years. Those reset functions are paid for out of dollars Congress earmarks for operations and maintenance, and in the case of the Marine Corps, about 40% of those dollars rest in the OCO accounts, according to Lieutenant General Glenn Walters, the service's deputy commandant for programs and resources.
If we have to move all that in the base, and I know all of it doesn't need to be moved in the base because we will draw down operations as we drive on, but we're still going to need the OCO for the reset 2-3 years. It's a matter of phasing. Even if you brought all the equipment out today, if you put it on a ship today and 2 months later it got here, I still don't have the capacity in the depots to push it all through. So it's a phasing issue there. We have tried to migrate our training in there. We've tried to our field maintenance. We've tried to put in our budget. But with all the other services, as we look at a sequestered level in 16 and out, what comes out is either our modernization accounts or our force structure. I think we've taken all the risk we can in the force structure end of the business. We don't want to get any smaller. I don't think the nation, as a steady state requirement for us, can afford to have us any smaller.
The other services have the same concerns about reset, including the Navy. That service has had relatively few boots on the ground in Afghanistan, but Vice Admiral Joseph Molloy, the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Integration of Capabilities and Resources, says an increased operational tempo over the past decade meant the fleet had to miss a lot of maintenance opportunities. It's counting on OCO to make those up.
For the ships that deployed from 2006 to 2011 that did extra steaming, we cut short their availabilities. We've had to go in and say, the next time that boat comes due, we need to go a dry dock avail. We need to open up all the tanks and fix things. When the 15 comes, you'll see there's a ship reset, and that's somewhat unique. This will be the third year, and that needs to go for about 5 more years because it takes 8 years to work through the fleet. All the ships come due. Their next, what we call selected restricted availability, needs to be a docking restricted availability because I have to go in and do the maintenance on the ship that was cut short because it was in Norfolk, it was in Guam, somewhere. It had to go. So therefore, it's underway now. We never did all that completion. It's about $1.8 billion, but it needs to be over a number of years to be able to add that to the ship maintenance account.
Congress's willingness to continue pushing money into that secondary budget is anything but guaranteed after the U.S. role in Afghanistan ends. OCO funds hit their high mark in 2008 at $187 billion, and this year, even with Afghanistan operations drawing down, Congress gave DOD $85 billion, $3 billion more than the year before. DOD has not submitted an OCO request for 2015 because the U.S. hasn't reached an agreement with the country's government about the troop state beyond the end of this year. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.